21 years back yesterday, I was ordained a priest. And 21 years back today is the anniversary of my very first Mass that I said. And so for these children to be part of my anniversary is awesome for me. I hope it means a great deal to these kids and to you too. But I'm so happy to be here today. Do you know 15 years of my 21 as a priest at Immaculate right here? So I'm just so thrilled to be part of this community and to have lived my priesthood, most of it, among you. Now, Friday evening is when I heard this on the news. Charles Gladden, he lives in Washington, D.C., and he's a homeless man at Washington, D.C. His makeshift bed every night is on a sidewalk next to D.C.'s McPherson Square metro station. He sleeps with his shoe by his side. He has a few blankets that he covers himself with to keep himself warm. Gladden wakes up at sunrise because they're all chased out of the train station, where he and along with the other homeless men and women sleep. And they're chased out because before the commuters come for the early morning rush, these guys have to be out of there. So Gladden collects his worldly possessions, which is just one small bag which he can carry in one hand. And he begins his own trek to work. Where do you guess he works? If you read the news, he works at the U.S. Capitol. For 8 years, he has worked in Senate cafeterias, washing dishes, and doing janitorial work for our great senators. Gladden is 68 years old. He makes $11 an hour. He makes $360 a week. When he was asked what he does with that money, he said he gives it to his children and grandchildren because they have their own troubles. And he said, "I take care of them. I do not want to be a burden on them." He also said, "I am an embarrassment. I don't want to be an embarrassment for this country, the country I was born and raised in." I had a very different beginning to this homily till I heard Gladden's story. Folks, today's gospel reading is radically contrary to the political and economic system on which our nations and nations across the world are based. It's about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Our leaders, political or otherwise, are supposed to be good shepherds. But Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd who functions within a totally different paradigm. And what's the paradigm? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's the paradigm. Christianity boasts of a God who's not just risen from the dead, but lays down his life for his sheep. And here's the question that I'm raising. Why does Christianity boast of such a God? Why does the Good Shepherd, instead of taking care of himself or herself, why does this Good Shepherd lay down his life for the sheep? And the answers to this question is really my 3 points for reflection today. First of all, I want to say that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep because first of all, it's about relationships. It is about relationships. So getting back to Gladden a little bit, did you know that he worked for 8 years with some very powerful people, as you know, and not one person knew that Gladden was homeless? 8 years. When he was interviewed about the fact that nobody knew, his message to the senators was, all they have to do is stop and ask common person on the street or in the building. The people bringing them their food, people sweeping and cleaning their toilet. All they got to do is show some concern. Who is this person who brought my food to the table? When does somebody care to ask them the question, what's your story? Well, I'm homeless. For 8 years, nobody did that. We all know that American people's faith in its elected leaders is at its lowest these days. I think it's because they speak for the people but care mostly about themselves. Now, let me give you another example, because there are good people in the world as well. Here's the story of Dan Price. Dan Price is the founder of the Seattle payment processing firm, and its name is Gravity Payments. This news came out on the 14th of April. Dan Price sliced his $1 million salary and made it $70,000. He took a 90% cut of his salary, and he has made the pledge that all of his staffers make at least $70,000 annually in the next 3 years. He took a 90% pay cut, sliced his profits, so the people that he works for can earn a decent wage. It's all about relationships. Here are our leaders who did not know somebody homeless among them, and here is Dan Price, willing to take the flak or the loss for making sure other people can earn decent wage. This is the meaning of caring about people. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, didn't just take a pay cut. Jesus actually went further. He laid down his life for his sheep. Why? Because for Jesus, it is about relationships. The Good Shepherd comes down and lays his life down for his sheep because that is what good friends do for each other. God wants us to know in Jesus that the world, that in a world that unjustly maximizes profit, in a world that has no reward for loyalty, in a world that exploits others to get things done, we have a friend in God. The Good Shepherd on the cross is a symbol of loyalty, of sacrifice, of selflessness. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep so that those who feel like giving up may not give up, so that the poor and the vulnerable can still find goodness, so that the self-serving power and senseless profit may never be the last word. Jesus lays down his life for us so that friendship and relationships may still have meaning among us. Secondly, Jesus lays down his life for his sheep because first it's about relationship, secondly, it's about love. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep because, as John says in today's second reading, he says, see, and I love this part. I'm sure he's holding up a cross and probably he's pointing out to the crucifix. And John says, see what love the Father has for us. Now, folks, really, we're in a church. We are the tabernacle is right here, and we have this crucifix that we incense so often. And these symbols can just pass us by because we have got so used to it. But honestly, take a moment and think, see what love the Father has for us. Of all the friends that we have, aren't the ones that we trust also the ones who make sacrifices for us? Of all the friends we have, are not the ones we love most also the ones who love us more than themselves? I think that God could have sat up in heaven and with a click of a finger saved us. Jesus didn't have to come down. God can do anything. God could have just clicked a finger and we would all be saved. But you know what? This is not love. That is love. See what love the Father has bestowed on us. Today we can look at the crucifix and say to each other, hey, God loves us so much that he laid down his life for his friends. In other words, we know love because the Good Shepherd made the greatest sacrifice of all. Jesus laid down his life for us. So first it's about relationship. Secondly, it's about love. Thirdly, it's about transforming evil into good. Do you remember September 11th, 2001? Who can forget that? Now, after the World Trade Centers were brought down, there was an image, a picture, that was widely circulated. Amidst all the rubble and the destruction, there was one symbol that stood very firm, and it was actually a cross beam. Do you remember that? It was just two pieces of iron. And that symbol stood in the midst of all the destruction. It was discovered by people who were working among the rubble, people who were, helping people who were caught up in the debris. These were people who were trying to clear the site so they can get somewhere with this meaningless violence. And as they looked up, this cross beam became a symbol of hope, not just for people who were working there, for people all over the world. That cross standing there became a symbol of hope and life. It's something like that when we talk about Jesus and the cross. By the way, this cross beam that stood is now exhibited in the National September 11 Memorial and Museum. It's exhibited there. It's a permanent symbol of hope. When we read the scriptures, we realize that on a fateful Friday, in the midst of much evil, the cross stood tall. The Good Shepherd who hung on the cross was the epitome of everything noble, sacred, and godly. And even though the cross stood for everything that was the opposite, shame and despair and utter hopelessness, the Good Shepherd on the cross transforms the very meaning of evil into something good. So folks, yes, there is much evil around us. Yes, our leaders are selfish. Yes, sometimes corporate businesses run this nation. Yes, poverty is systemic and artificially created. Yes, life is a struggle for many of us. But precisely in such a world, God is calling us to be a symbol of that cross. Think about Dan Price. When so many CEOs make billions of dollars, here is one CEO who's saying, I'm going to take a pay cut so others can get paid. There are good people among us. They are doing something that is holy and sacred. And so today, in the midst of much evil around us, Jesus teaches us how to live meaningfully in a difficult world. The Good Shepherd teaches us how to transform every cross into an opportunity for virtue and good. At home, at work, and at every place we might be, the Good Shepherd leads us to transform evil into good. And folks, I think that is where today's baptisms are so significant. Here are two sets of parents that are coming who want their children to walk in the way of the Good Shepherd. The church asked them this question in the beginning. He says, are you willing to teach them the ways of faith? And the ways of faith are, as you know, you've been through RCIA, you know that, you teach this all the time, Yana and Joel. It's not just what happens up here. It's not about all these doctrines we have. It's about a way of life. It's discipleship. It's following this man, the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life. The greatest lesson that you can ever teach your children is the power of the cross. And it is in that name of the cross that we will be baptizing your children today. How powerful is that? So as we celebrate this Eucharist and continue to worship our Christ, let us pray that we can truly follow the Good Shepherd. For one, we can truly follow the good. Let's hear his voice and let's pay attention to it. Let's begin actually follow. And as we follow, may we replicate what Christ has done. May we bear witness to the power of the cross and what the Good Shepherd has done. May our Eucharist be a celebration of that. People of God said,